Morning again. We greet you in the name of Christ, our risen Savior. Last Sunday afternoon, while most of us were taking a nap or getting ready for evening church or doing something, there was a young man in our community that laid down on the railroad tracks in front of a train. 18 years old, young man. I did not know him. Don't know his family. A testimony of the brokenness in our community throughout the world. And I have no idea what was going on, but there's a lot of anxiety and brokenness, and it is tragic. Well, we don't know who he was, but he was a person. You know, he had problems, and he was not able to reach out and to get help. So remember, we always print in our church bulletin here the Suicide Crises Lifeline, 988. Reach out. Or if you know someone who is battling serious depression and anxiety, you know, try to encourage them to reach out to somebody. And it's just tragic that that would happen. We do welcome you here this morning, but I wanted to acknowledge that because, you know, a life was lost. And it is tragic, and we need to acknowledge that. It is Thanksgiving coming up, and I'm sure a lot of people will be enjoying family gatherings, and some will be happy, and some will not. So enjoy your time with your families. But I don't have a traditional Thanksgiving sermon for you today. So I will share with you what God has given me to give you. The aim of preaching is that through God's word that I would share with you is that God would speak to you and God say something. That it's not the preacher, it's God's word, and in this God is talking to me. Now the great preacher Charles Spurgeon once said the greatest compliment he ever paid to him was a little girl sitting with her grandmother, and during his preaching said, "Grandmama, why is that man talking to me?" And he said that was the greatest compliment, that his preaching would go to a little child like as if he was talking to her. By the way, it's a little warm up here. Y'all warm back there? Well, I can't do anything about it, but maybe somebody can. All right, let's get into the Word of God. And a very familiar passage of Scripture I want to share with you and talk to you about the prodigal today. And that's found in the 15th chapter of Luke, the Gospel of St. Luke. This is a story that has been relived countless. It is still relevant today. It is happening today. It is a timeless story that Jesus pulled out and taught to teach a parable here about a young man who gets his upcomings, you know, and he thinks he knows best and he goes astray. But the hope of this story, it ends well, that he comes back and makes peace, you know. That he gets back, and that there is a loving father there awaiting him back. In the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, in verse number 11, this parable begins. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto the father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country," going to explore the world, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Who could have seen that coming? And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And when he had joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to the fields to feed swine, he would have fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had come to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise, go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, the father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto the servants, bring forth the best robe, and put on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And the story ends well, doesn't it? But it didn't start off too well. But I want us to look at verse number 17. Is a key to this whole story here. Verse 17 says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. He came to himself. Often we look around and we see people, especially those who are connected to us, loved ones, friends, family, and those who we want to see do better, and we try to tell them, you need to come to your senses. Well, all the while, I want us to look at it from God's perspective today. God is saying to us, come to your senses. Come to your senses. Essentially, this is what happens to the young man here. He comes to his senses. It was something that the father could not persuade him, or friends and family at home. Nobody could do anything with him, you know. But when the time was right, he did come to his senses. It's possible. So maybe God is saying something to some of us here today. Come to your senses. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this word. I pray that you would bless it for those who it's for, Lord. Indeed, it's for all of us. Lord, there are people around us daily who we plead that they would come to their senses. Lord, we pray that you would deal with them, that you would open their hearts, and then they will come to their senses. Father, I pray that you would encourage the believers today, edify, build up the church, call sinners to repentance, bless the sick, those who are unable to be here today. Lord, bless and lift up your name, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Come to your senses. How many times did the father and the other servants, the chief servants of their, try to speak to this young man and tell him, look, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go off on your own. You don't want to do this. It's not going to end well. But at some point, what you have to admire here about the father is here, he acknowledges that he's powerless. You know, sometimes people just have to, they just have to learn the hard way. We cannot force people into ways of life and what they need to do. And so it's very hard as a parent at times to step aside and let a child learn a hard lesson, and you know it ain't going to end well. Now, this young man has a little bit of a rebellious spirit, and he wants to see the world. He demands, and he is at his legal rights of getting part of his inheritance, and that's afforded him, and the father says, okay, he did not try to lock him up. Well, we're gonna force you, we're going to lock you up, I'm going to make you come to your senses. I'm sure they had tried to reason with him, but there comes a point of time when you have to admit that you can't make people do anything. There's an old saying that says, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make him drink. And it's hard sometimes to see people learn hard lessons. Oh, we plead with them daily. We plead with, can't you see this is destructive? Can't you come to your senses? Why can't you see that? I'm trying to tell you right. I'm trying to help you. Don't you understand that? And, you know, you can't get through. You can't get through. I want you to see today, church, that there's somebody else saying that too, and that's God. And he has a whole lot more authority. And if we can recognize our role in matters, the Father here is a good pattern of what we can do. You know, there is a time you just have to stand back. I've said many times, boy, it is hard sitting back waiting to see a train wreck. And you know what I'm talking about. You know, you're pleading and you're pleading with somebody, come to your senses, and you know this is not going to end well. And we think we have to stop the train wreck, don't we? But we can't. We can't. We can do all we can do. And I don't think the father was cold here. I think that he had done all he could do. And I think he knew, this is out of my hands. You know, I have pleaded with him. He's been taught better. We have demonstrated before him, you know, the stories of life and what will happen. And no matter how many times we've told him, now you might want to rethink your plan. You know, the world is not as friendly out there as you think it is. There are how many ways that this could go bad, you know. He learns all these hard lessons. You know, the money goes. What seems like enough money to live forever on is wasted and squandered away, and it's gone. The economy goes. You know, we foresee all these things. These things can happen, but the young rebellious man sees nothing. He only sees, hey, opportunities, fun. You know, live it up. Go out there and I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to do my own thing. Oh, but you don't want to do that. But it's within my right. Okay. Okay. That part's hard, isn't it? Say, okay. You just have to have at it. I cannot make you do anything. So within his rights, he gathers together. He takes his journey. And then it goes just like the father knew it would. He's not going to be a good steward. He's too immature. He's going to waste it. We know what's going to happen, but there ain't nothing we can do about it. And sure enough, he goes into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And then, just as the father knew would happen, when he had spent it all, things went bad. The local economy gets bad. Jobs were scarce. And he began to be in want. We knew this was going to happen, didn't we? The Bible says he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into a field to feed swine, which is an insult to a young Jewish man. Swine were unholy animals. They wouldn't dare feed the swine. This is the lowest of jobs, but he has been humbled. He's getting his comeuppance, as they used to say. And there, while he is feeding the swine, he is so hungry that he desires to eat with the pigs. And he says, no, nobody didn't feel sorry for him here. And no man gave unto him. So that's what we call he hit rock bottom. Now here's the thing. When people hit rock bottom, they don't always respond positively. This man does come to his senses, but not everybody does. You have to acknowledge that. Some never do. This is not just a story about the local family and the father. This is also a story about God and mankind. And God all the time is pleading with this young man while the father, why can't this young man come to his senses? God is also pleading and saying, come to your senses. Now, God is a lot more successful in getting people to come to those senses than we are. Did you know that? And those that we see no hope out of, God is able to get them to come to their senses. We do our part by telling them and praying for them, but our part is not making them come to their senses. That is a divine act. That is God's business. When Paul preached the gospel in Philippi, some of the people heard him, one of them named Lydia. It says that the Lord opened her heart. Paul didn't open her heart to the gospel. He shared the gospel, and it said, whom the Lord opened her heart, and then she believed the things that Paul preached and was converted and her house. That's the way it works. The Lord has to open their hearts. And when people come to their senses, it is an act of God. It's a divine act. It is not the church's business to make people come to their senses. Our role is to share the good news with them. It is the Holy Spirit's job to get people to come to their senses. Oh, we'd like to shake them and say, why can't you come to your senses? Can't you see that you're going down the wrong track? Can't you see this is not going to end well? But the Lord got him in the right place at the right time, and guess what? He came to his senses and admitted he'd been wrong. And he goes back to the father and he says, I'm just going to ask to be restored as a servant. I have been humbled. I have been humbled. And he was willing to admit, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me a servant. I'm happy just to come back in any capacity. But the father saw him coming a great way off, fell on his neck, and hugged him and restored him. Give him the best, Give him a robe, a ring on his finger, shoes, and kill the fatted calf. And the Bible says the story ended well with the father saying, this my son was dead and he's alive. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Ending of a good story. Boy, I like stories that end well, don't y'all? That's why I keep watching old Andy Griffiths and old shows, because I know they're going to end well. Gunsmoke's, most of them end well, not all of them. I never did like shows that end bad. We have enough of that in real life. So give us a little bit of fantasy, and fantasy world shows that end well. Not all stories in life end well, but they can. And that's what hope is about. They can. They can. We plead, we pray, and the Lord bring them to their senses. We have to acknowledge the Lord's role in this and quit trying to do it on our own. Quit trying to make people come to their senses. St. Paul, before his name was changed to Paul, he was named Saul of Tarsus, and he persecuted the church. He was a Pharisee, and he hated Christian people. And he went around persecuting, locking up both men and women, and making them, here's the terrible thing about what Paul was doing, he would make them renounce their faith. He stood by and egged on the killing and the stoning of Stephen, one of the first deacons of the church, the beloved deacon named Stephen, who the people in the early church loved, adored. He was a man of God, full of the Holy Ghost, and it broke the hearts of the church when Stephen was martyred, but it served other purposes too. But one of the things Paul was standing by, gave his consent and egged it on. One wonders if he ever got that image out of his mind, seeing Stephen calling upon God, saying, "Lay not this sin to their charge." But Paul went on fighting the church and Christians and doing all that he could until one day the Lord decided, "I've got other things for you to do, Saul." And he met him on the road to Damascus in the act of going to lock up more Christians, struck him down with a light, blinded him, and humbled him. Humbled him. This is about being humbled. Why? Because God chose him. That's why. Acts chapter 9, the Bible says, "And Saul was yet breathing out threatening, slaughtering against the disciples of the Lord, and went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if any he found of any this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound," going to lock you up and bring you to Jerusalem and make you recant your faith. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone round about, a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?'" What's God saying? That's Jesus talking to Saul there. You know what Jesus is saying to Saul? "Man, why can't you come to your senses? Why can't you come to your senses? Why persecutest thou me?" And Saul says these words, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Come to your senses. You're fighting a losing battle, kicking against pricks with sandals is a losing battle. You know what I mean? And so the Lord Jesus Christ here appearing unto Saul here says, "Why can't you come to your senses? You're passionate for the Jewish way here, but you are fighting a losing battle when you're fighting my people. Come to your senses." And he did. And he had an extraordinary experience there, meeting the risen Lord. And the Bible says, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what will thou have me to do?'" So he come to his senses. He had a rather rude awakening there. "What would you have me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go in the city, and it'll be told thee what thou must do." And so the rest is history. But Jesus is essentially saying to Saul, "Why can't you come to your senses?" God has been saying that for thousands of years to people. Unto his old people, Israel, the book of Isaiah, You had Isaiah and Jeremiah and the prophets preaching here in the latter times before the fall, and the kingdoms had fallen into sin and reproach, and God still pleads with his people in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 19, or 11 through 19, excuse me. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? God is talking to his people here. Unto me, saith the Lord, I'm full of burnt offerings, of rams, of fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks, nor of lambs, nor of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread in my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. There's no use in you people coming to church, God's saying here, because you're wicked. The calling of assemblies. I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash ye, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Well, now listen to this. Come now, let us reason together. And God is saying, come to your senses, Israel. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Come to your senses. They wouldn't do it. God's pleading with them. And he sends more prophets. Right to the end, he sends Jeremiah, who's prophesying at the time of the destruction. And one of Jeremiah's last prophecies is to the last king, which is Zedekiah. And he had reasoned a little with Zedekiah, and he told him what he's got to do. Essentially, what you got to do, because this is ordained of God, you must submit to the king of Babylon. Zedekiah was weak-kneed, and his excuse was he didn't want to be embarrassed before his people. He acknowledged that the prophet of God is telling the truth. You know, that probably Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon are going to overtake the kingdom. And Jeremiah says, the only way for you to be saved is for you to come under the yoke of the Babylonians. Submit to him, and you will live. Oh, yeah, but I don't know what people think about me. Jeremiah's pleading with him, man, come to your senses. This is getting serious here. You know, the rubber's about to meet the road. God is pleading to the last king here, named Zedekiah, come to your senses. Listen to what Jeremiah told him here. Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 13. He says, why will ye die? Thou and thy people by the sword, by the famine, by pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the kingdom of Babylon. Why will you die? Why can't you come to your senses here? King, why can't you acknowledge the truth? It's right before your eyes. Why can't you come to your senses? And the prophet is pleading with him. God indeed is pleading with him. But he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He gave it another try of rebellion. You know what happened to him? They led him away to judgment against Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar brought his sons before him and killed them. Killed his sons. That's the last thing he said. Let him see the death of his sons and put his eyes out. they put his eyes out and led him away to Babylon blinded. What a way to go. Wow. Just he refused to come to his senses. Not all people will. Some people are hard-headed. But God is pleading. It's just not us that is pleading. So I want you to be encouraged today. We get discouraged when we plead with people and they won't pay any attention to it. Take great comfort in the fact that God is pleading too. And his pleading is more powerful. It is really not our pleading that gets the job done. We just tell them, and then the Spirit of God does the work. So if there's anybody listening or here today who are going down that road, you've been told you know better, you've been told better, you need to come to your senses. Jesus says these words, "For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And here Christ is pleading with mankind today. Come to your senses. Come to your senses. Why can't you come to your senses? Christ today is pleading with us. Come to your senses. We see a world that's going astray and gone astray quickly out there, but yet Christ is pleading still with people today, patiently pleading with people, come to your senses. Come to your senses. The prodigal son came to his senses. He had to learn some hard lessons. But some people continually go through hard lessons and never come to their senses. Bible says, "He that oft reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." You know what that means? It means that those who are reproved, who keep going astray and suffering penalties and penalties and penalties, and they just can't learn from it. There are people like that, you know. The prodigal son here comes to himself, you know, he comes to his senses is what he does. He had a memory of better days. He remembered what he left, and he knew what he had to do to get back there, and that was to humble himself. He's willing to swallow his pride and to do it, and he found forgiveness. And so will we today, if we'll humble ourselves and come to the Lord. He is that Father who meets us with open arms when we repent of those sins. But there are some people, for whatever reason, I don't understand it. They just keep suffering hard lessons, and why can't they come to their senses? I don't know. It's tragic. But there's hope. So if you're here today or you listen to me and you've gone down that vein, you've spent a lifetime of just refusing to come to your senses, you know, and some of them tell you, "Yeah, I know I ought to. It's not too late. It's not too late. God is a God of second chances and third and on and on and on. He is a forgiving Savior. The prodigal comes to his senses. Why don't you? That's God's message. Somebody may be watching this a year from now and hear this, and it's to somebody, it's to us, the church, to encourage us that it's not up to us, that it's not only us that is pleading with people to come to their senses, but Christ is also pleading with them. You know, we need to let people know that it's just not me pleading with you, but the Lord Jesus Christ is pleading for you. Won't you come to your senses? The prodigal son did. What's it going to take to get you to acknowledge God in your life? Somebody might say, Pastor, what you got the lyrics of an eagle song here? I want to read some of it. After all, St. Paul quoted and used the Stoic poets in his preaching in Acts chapter 17, I believe it was. As he preached to the men of Athens, he quoted the Stoic poets of Greek mythology. But I'm going to read a line or two out of a song from the Eagles in the 70s. And I understand this was written by Randy Meisner about a friend. And it's about a friend that they just couldn't get him to come to his senses. You know, you see people self-destructing. You're headed to a train wreck. Man, why can't you? And so they wrote this song called Desperado. And it's a plea to that friend. Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? What, you know? And that's what we are when we're estranged from God. The prodigal was a desperado. And on God is pleading with him, come to your senses. And the song says here, why don't you? That's what I'd like to know today. Why don't you come to your senses? And then the last line of the song says, you better let somebody love you. And then it says, before it's too late. Time is swiftly passing. Swiftly passing. God already loves you. Why don't you acknowledge that and let you love him? He is that loving father that wants to meet you on your journey back home with open arms. Christ died upon the cross for you. He already loved you. You just didn't know it. So if you've not yet come to the Lord today, God's word to you is, why don't you come to your senses today and acknowledge the love of God in Christ and repent of your sins and come to him and receive the love that Jesus died to give you on the cross. And Brother Danny is going to come and lead us in a song. And my plea to you is, don't be like King Zedekiah and others who refused to come to their senses. And people had pleaded with them, the prophet. God sent prophets to them. Come to your senses. It's urgent. It's urgent before it's too late. Let's stand together. If you're here today, you have not yet come to Christ. Why don't you do that today as we sing, Brother Danny?
287.